You got your Bible? Wave them at me if you got a Bible. Well, this is a great night. Good crowd tonight again. I'm going to have prayer in just a moment, but turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm starting a new series tonight, and about five messages, I think. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and go down to verse number 18, and we'll read down to verse 25. Before I read, I want to have prayer just a moment. Pray for Sister Judy O'Brien. She is on her way to Kentucky. Is it right? She's going to have a procedure tomorrow, so be much in prayer for her. My old buddy Frank McDonough, he came to church tonight, got a heavy heart. And I'm going to pray for you, Frank, right before I preach. His grandson died had an accidental death yesterday, and I am broken for Frank and Sally. I'm so sorry. But I want you to know I'm glad God got mercy. God will help you. But I want you to pray for Brother Frank. Also continue to pray for Carolyn Hawks. Remember now that service will be at Floral Hills Memorial Gardens. I think that's at Allen's Fork. You can get the address and get there. That's at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. And be sure to go if you would. It'd be a blessing to Miss Carolyn. What we're going to do, they're going to have a viewing, I think, from 11 to 12 at Cook Funeral Home. And then they're going to go to Sissonville. And we're going to have a full-blown service there at the cemetery. But not just a committal. We're going to do a full-blown service. So be much in prayer, if you would. If you got your Bibles to where I said, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? I want to ask a question before I preach. I don't know how many readers we got here. Got any readers? Anybody read? Now, I want you to ask your question. And I want you to be honest. It's not a trick question, not a trap question. And before I do, let me make one more announcement. You people that's going to bring the applesauce for TNT, stop up there atop the hill, okay? And just say TNT, Pastor Smith, okay? Now I want to ask you a question. I just need to see in this big crowd, how many of you have ever read the original John Bunyan book, Pilgrim's Progress? Raise them up and hold them. I just want to see. Probably less than 40. Probably less than 30. Now let me see how many's never read it. Come on. All right. Will you do me a favor? You might be able to get it used. It's a must read. Amen. It's a must read. Here's what's happening in our world today. We stopped reading books. We've stopped reading classics. That is a classic. Now, if you have children, you can also get it in a more watered-down version. I don't want you to read the watered-down. I'd like for you to read to your children the original plus the watered-down. That might help them a little bit. But get the book, Pilgrim's Progress, because it is a classic, and your kids need to hear it, and you need to read it. It is a fascinating book about the Christian life. Amen? And I may, from time to time, about once a month, give you some books that you need to read, classical books that you need to read. But that one there, that's a must-read for every Christian. And you'll come back and say to me, that was an awesome book. That's what you'll say. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. You'll see that this could be preached on Sunday morning also. But it's a series tonight. Let me give you the series title. Points of Pondering for the Pilgrim's Progress. Now, before we read these verses, will you just turn in your manuscript back one page to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, so I can give you context. Now, I'll read just a little bit of this paragraph. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, I love to read verse 2, but I'm not. It called us strangers. Ladies and gentlemen, this world's not our home. This is not our final dwelling place. And what we are, we're pilgrims. And we're on a journey. And I want to, in these next few weeks, preach on some points of pondering for the pilgrim progress. Let's look at the passage. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Somebody say amen here. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made, what was manifest in these last times for you, who by him, oh glory, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Stop a moment. If we ever needed anything in our life, we need that tonight. Our hope is not in the next president. Some of us act like that. Mind you, we are acting like that right now. But it's not. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in God. Glory. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. Let me say that again. Being born again. Several years ago, and I don't put up with nonsense, I had a man come up here to church, and to this day I don't know why he came, other than I think he was wanting to cause trouble. If you want trouble and cause me trouble, you're going to get trouble. He took me out to Bob Evans the next day after the first and last appearance he had here, and said, being born again is not New Testament. And I said, he said, Nicodemus is not New Testament. I'll explain to you that to y'all later on. That's not necessary for me to explain that tonight. But I will tell you, I took him to this verse. I said, would you please read that? And I just let him read it. I said, being born again, I said, 1 Peter, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. And he looked at me and said, well, I never knew it was in there. He said, I still don't believe it. And I said, best thing you do, go find your liberal church, because you ain't going to fit in here. You said, would you say something like that to somebody? You got that right, buddy. I want to tell you, I don't put up with nonsense. Never have, never will. It's not in my genes. My new DNA. Let me go. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Our Father, help this man of God tonight as I preach the word of God fervently. And Lord, God, give me physical energy. That's what I need the most. I know I need the spiritual energy. I'm not, but Lord, just the body energy. I want that tonight. I want to be able to preach this as hard as I can preach it, and as loud as I can preach it, and as strong as I can preach it, and that I can encourage everybody in this room before they go out the back door. In Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. We're living in a pondering society, would you agree? From politicians to school kids, each is pondering their future, their feelings, and their friends. Travelers are pondering their directions. Sweethearts are pondering for marriage. And we could go on. Webster defines pondering like this: as to weigh mentally, considering carefully, to meditate, to deliberate, and to reflect. This little word packs a powerful punch. I guess it could be well illustrated by Abraham Lincoln. I remember a story about Lincoln. He was rummaging around in a trash bin. And he, in that trash bin, found a commentary. And for the next 7 months, Abraham Lincoln pondered what was in that commentary. And because of the words of that commentary, and because of the strength of that commentary, and because he waited so strongly, Abraham Lincoln decided to run for president and became a president of the United States of America, and end slavery and end abuse and be one of the greatest presidents that we've ever heard of. And you said, what happened? He found something to ponder in. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, not only should we ponder sometimes the secular, but the Word of God even talks about pondering. Proverbs 21:2 said, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. I want you to know something. God looks on the heart and he does not look on the outside. Somebody say amen. Proverbs 4:26 said, ponder the path of thy feet. I want you to know something. You better watch where you're walking. And watch where you're going. And you better, when you make a decision, it better be founded on God and founded on His Holy Ghost. And your feet better follow God and not follow man. And you better not go in the wrong direction. Good preaching, Reverend. Luke 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You said, what things are that? She, the angel came and told her that the Christ child, the Holy Ghost, was conceived a Christ child in her. And she pondered those things. Y'all still with me? Point number one of the message, or the first message. Man, I can shout because hell is behind me. Ponder on that a minute. I remember Sue Schumacher back there. I remember when you owned the Dairy Queen. You remember that? You remember when your pastor came up there and confronted about 10 Jehovah Witnesses, do you remember? Yeah, you did. Might have been more than that, I don't know. But I remember when I went up there and I confronted that crowd. That's back in the days of Polaroids. They took my picture. And I became on the 10 most wanted list of the Jehovah Witnesses. I made them so mad. I made them so mad and aggravated. And one of them looked at me and said, go to hell. Yeah. I said, well, glory, glory. I told them, glory. First of all, it's good to know that y'all now believe in hell. And second of all, I can't go. Hell is behind me. Hell is behind me. This man, you people that are born of God, saved by the grace of God, you cannot go to hell. Let me give you three things. Man, I feel a lot of preach tonight. I hope my body holds up so I can preach hard tonight. Number one, write this down, verses 18 and 19. We need to reclaim some important truths. How many believe the Bible is important? And how many believe there are some important things in there that we need to ponder about? Look at verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Number one, under that, boy, oh boy, our redemption is incomparable. For as much as you know. How much do you know about what God done for you? The more I know, and the more I meditate, and the more I ponder, and the more I think about it, what God done for me in redemption, nothing can be compared to it. See, what God wants us to be is people who are in the know. Woo! These things are written that you might know. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and hell is behind me. I wonder how much some of us would do some shouting. If that was really real. Let me ask you something. Colton, how much do you ponder that? Huh? Just think about it, man. What you got in His redemption is incomparable. There ain't nothing compares to it. I'm talking about sealed to the day of redemption. I'm talking about redeemed, bought with a price. That's what the word means. I bought out of slavery. I brought glory. Somebody help me. Can I go? Man, some of y'all ought to get happy. Number two, under that little point, our redemption is incorruptible. That ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. It's an amazing phrase. Because the most incorruptible coin you can have is gold or silver. But I found out something. This gold and silver that he was talking about was gold and silver used in the slave market to purchase slaves. But spiritual redemption requires something higher than that. It requires the blood of Christ. And it's incorruptible. Am I preaching? You pondering that? You pondering that, Jeremy? Number third thought under this first thought. Boy, this is good right here. Just look at the verse. Our redemption is inconceivable. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. The word vain implies futile, empty, ineffectual, and blow a standard. Now, let me say something. Boy, I may get some hate mail tonight, because I usually do, from the Church of Christ. They hate me. I want all y'all to know, they can't stand me. Because I want to tell you what's vain. It's vain to think that you could go up in a tub and get your sins washed away. There's not power in the tub, there's power in the blood. Yet there's a group of people they believe in baptismal regeneration. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I didn't get saved when they sprinkled me at 8 days old and confirmed it. I didn't get that. I didn't go into a baptistry, a dry sinner, and come out a wet hypocrite. I got baptized after I got saved. And by the way, it's also vain to think you can be a member of a church and be saved. And it's also vain to think your good works will outweigh your bad works. Am I preaching? It's also vain to think you can take the sacraments and those sacraments some way transforms or transliterates into the body and the blood of Christ. No! I say 1,000 times no! It's not sacraments. It's the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. Whew. There's a bunch of dumb dog preachers. Am I preaching? That anybody that preaches any other gospel ought to be accursed. That's what Paul said. I had some person that used to go to church here say there's two gospels. You know what I told him? You just walked in the curse land. And if you didn't get in on the first one, you ain't gonna get in on no other one. Somebody say amen. That went over like a screen door in a submarine. I don't know why my used to be so all crazy, but they are. I can't help it. No, that was a gospel preaching. Hey, by the way, Abraham, the gospel was preached to him. So next time you wonder how Old Testament saints get saved, I'll tell you how. By the grace of God and by the gospel. You say, well, I'm a hyper-dispensational. You're a hyper-idiot. It was grace in the Old Testament. It is grace now. It'll be grace in the millennial. It'll be grace in the tribulation. By grace are you saved. Verses 19-23. Let's look at more in the manuscript tonight. Let's look at the scripture. For as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb's without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Secondly, we need to recall some inspiring truths. Hallelujah. There's three critical truths that I'm going to give you in these verses. First of all, we are purified by the blood. What kind of blood is it? It's precious blood. That carries a twofold meaning. First of all, it was expensive. And second of all, it was essential. Somebody help me. It was also perfect blood without spot, Jeremy, and without blemish. Christ's sacrifice, and he was the sinless Son of God.
Amen.
He couldn't see it because he wouldn't. And he wouldn't see it because he couldn't.
Amen.
And you know what? We don't ponder enough on that. Can I ask a question? How many of you, the devil fights you? Raise your hand. Raise them up. All of them. How do you win over him? How do y'all win over him? How do y'all win over him? Well, my Bible said in Revelation 12, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. Am I preaching, Chad? Not only, man, I'm enjoying this here. We were purified by the blood. Verse 23. We are preserved by the birth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Look here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've got a new birth. Somebody help me preach. That liveth and abideth forever. Whew. Are you pondering? You're purified by the blood. You're preserved by the birth. Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with pure heart fervently. You're progressed by the blessing. We're children of God. We're secure by unfeigned love. How do we live? Seeing ye have purified your soul by obeying the truth. The only way you can have your soul pure is by obeying the truth. You know why Mormons are going to hell? Because they don't obey the truth. You want to know why Jehovah's Witnesses are going to hell? Because they don't obey the truth. You want to know why the cults are going to hell? It's because they don't know the truth. Hey, you know why some major Protestant denominations are going to hell because they don't obey the truth. That's about as stout as I can get. I don't want to upset y'all, but there's a church up here in this valley preaches baptismal regeneration. Those converts that trusted that are on their way to hell. If there are churches in this valley that's preaching work salvation to keep them saved and be saved, they are going to hell if they believe that preaching. Now, I did not say every one of them churches, their people are going to hell. I did not say that. I'm saying that if they believe the lie to be saved, they're on their way to hell. Hey, I want you to know something. I'm almost done. I can see people on the typewriter now. They don't have them anymore. They're on Word right now. Word's been opened up. And they're going to write me a letter. Come on! Tells me a whole lot you ain't in church tonight anyway. Come on! I want all you to know. Ain't no way to be saved other than the grace of God. Whew. See, it talks about how we live our lives and how to love others with unfeigned love of the brethren. Amen? Amen? By the way, we ought to love people. We ought to love one another. You say, well, I don't like certain ways that you have. My wife don't either. But that ain't the point. The point is you need to love me with an everlasting love. Now I'm done. Look at verse 22. I probably, if I'd stayed only with 2 points, y'all would be real good shape. But I'm not. I want you to look at verse 22 one more time. Refuse, number three, some improper trash. How many believe sometimes we produce trash? Let me give it to you. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. How many of you, any of y'all ever, it almost grosses me out, but any of y'all ever watch that TV show Hoarders? If you can stand it. I mean, it's the most ungodly bunch of junk I've ever seen in my life. And people hoard up the stuff that, I mean, you know, the rats have fellowship with. And they never throw anything away. Now, I've never been to a former hoarder, but I have visited some people who I think were hoarders. I went into a person's house about 20 years ago. I won't use the illustration 20 years ago, so none of you have any idea. And I want y'all to know something. I walked in the front door, and I did this. I still laugh about it. I fell down, right dead on my face, Rich. There was junk everywhere, trash everywhere. You know, when you're 400 pounds at that time, it don't take much to stumble you. And by the way, I fell down and stuff got all over me. It was the trashiest place I've ever been in my life. I mean, it was trashy. I want you to know something. And it was really, really something that was sickening. Can I tell you something about us? Sometimes we have some trash. That we need to dump in the dumpster. You say, what kind of trash? I'm glad you mentioned. And I'm not preaching to you, sister, on this one. You remember I told you I'd preach it. We need to empty out the trash of complaining. Look at me. Really? What do you have to complain about? Somebody help me. What do you have to complain about? I'm looking over to Megan a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. She's driving up to home. She had a little football player in the back seat. And somebody run her off the road and just about killed her. And she's here tonight. Amen. She could complain that the car's messed up. She ain't. She's just thankful that the boy didn't get hurt. Amen. And she's fine because they do replace cars. What is it that you complained about before you came to church tonight? What did you complain about last night? What have you complained about this week? Boy, it is quiet in here. Number two. We not only ought to empty out the trash of complaining, but we ought to empty out the trash of criticism. I'll tell you what some of us do. We gag at a gnat, and we swallow a camel. We beat anything I ever seen. We'll get all fussy and criticize just the littlest of something, and then we'll swallow something ignorant. Am I preaching? Next time you want to criticize something, won't you look to Jesus and say, should I do that? What would you do? And then thirdly, we need to empty out the trash of condoning. Let me say this to you. I might be a little too straight here. If I am, I guess Chad will straighten me out in the morning. No, he don't do that. I'm just kidding. We're living this world. You know what the big word today is? You need to tolerate things. They want me to tolerate their sin, but they don't want to tolerate us. I don't want to upset you. I'm not going to tolerate homosexuality. I'm not tolerating gender identity. I'm not tolerating wickedness in high places. I'm just not doing it. Now, I'm not going to do what the liberals do and go burn a city down. I'm just not going to tolerate it. There's a lot of nonsense going on. How many agree with me? I'm talking about literal nonsense that's going on in our country, and they tell us to be tolerant. Come on now. You be tolerant. Don't you say anything about homosexuality. You do know it's genetic, don't you? No, I don't know that. And I want to tell you all that even think that, you're absolutely out of your mind. That's not what the Bible said. Homosexuality is a choice. It's a lifestyle that reprobate people choose. Amen. Several years ago, I got to quit, man. Come on. Okay. Several years ago, I preached, and there's a sweet little granny here. Well, I thought she was sweet, but she didn't. She wasn't sweet at the service. Because I preach about what I preach right now. She come up to me, and I mean, she ripped my hide. She said, I have you to know that it's genetic. They were born that way. I said, no, they choose to be that way. And she said, well, you mean to tell me that my niece and nephew weren't born that way? They chose to be like they are. Ma'am, I don't know your niece and nephew. I'm just telling you that sin is a choice. See, why do you get it personalized? I ain't personal. I ain't offended nobody. I ain't after nobody. I ain't got nobody after. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Amen. Are you with me? And just read Romans 1. I mean, they tell me it ain't in the New Testament. Read Romans 1. Then you're going to say, I want to tear that out. But see, that crowd wants me to be tolerant. Now, hold a minute. Now, before you go out here thinking something bad, I think people in the gay community and homosexual community can be saved. I've led several to the Lord. I led one man to the Lord that now is a Baptist preacher. And I don't approach them to knock them over the head about their sin. Because all sin's going to take you to hell. But in this guy's case, here's what I'm done. Let me tell you the story. I didn't know I was going to end with this. I don't know how much editing you're going to do tomorrow, okay? But anyway, I was sitting in my state road truck before I came to work at this church, just before. And this man who I knew for 20 years, come and sit in my truck, and he said, what do you think about what I've been preaching on? And you know, I just went in the Bible like any, and I told him the scripture. And man, that's plain. He said to me, here's what he said. Well, I am one. And he said, I'm not the only. And he said, I've had relationships with two Baptist preachers that you know. And by the way, I got them fired because those two Baptist preachers were fooling with little kids. And that's why he told me. Well, it's quiet in here. And he said, would you take some time and help me out of this? And I said, certainly. Now, I want all y'all to know, I didn't get him out of it in a day or a week or a month. It took me about 8 months. And I'll tell you where it all ended up. It ended up on Canal 2 Mount. Now, I'm almost reluctant to say this because some of y'all are going to say, man, he's not qualified to preach if he's a brawler. Well, hear the whole story. I was going up to Canal 2 Mount Baptist. How many's been there before? Jody Polly loses pastor up on a hill near God. Only God goes up there. But I was on my way up there for revival. And Rich, this guy come driving down the road. And I saw him. And I did the most unthinkable thing you could do. I pulled my car right out in front of him sideways and stopped him. Because he had 2 8-year-olds in the back seat. Our boy's going to get quiet in here now. And I jerked him out of the car. I said, you're the one sent help you. And I got him right here, Chad. And honest to God, what kept me from putting my knuckles down his throat, I don't know. But I looked at him and I said, I love you, boy. And I said, God loves you. And I opened the door and I said, boys, get out of this car. And that broke that man that night. It broke him. It took a little straight talk, but love. And don't you ever go out here and think I don't love everybody because you don't know me.
Amen. That's right, preacher. Come on. No, you do. Amen.
The next night, he came to church up to Tuma. Came and sat on the front row. And I preached the gospel. And he got saved. He is right now, about my age, pastoring a church in North Carolina. Got saved, got delivered, got cleaned up, and repented of all of it, and left it behind.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
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 Don't tell me not to tolerate. See, here's what I believe. I hate the sin, but I love the sinner. I've led child abusers, parents that abuse their children to the Lord. I've led people that are hooked on pornography and alcohol to the Lord. I've led them all to the Lord. And I look beyond them. I said, hey, the blood of Christ is sufficient for you. So don't tell me that I not to tolerate, that I ought to be more tolerant. I am tolerant. I'm just going to keep on saying sin is sin. But God's love is greater than any sin. And where sin abounded, grace did that much more abound. I kept them a little longer than I ought to tonight, hadn't I? But I need to say this. Because, oh yeah, you need to be tolerant. You fundamentalists need to be more tolerant. We're a lot more tolerant than you think we are. At least we believe that there's hope for people where you don't believe there's hope. I had one of these liberals the other day, Rich, looked me in the face and said, you ain't no good for nothing. And you ain't no good thing for you. There ain't no hope for you. You know why? Because I'm a conservative. And he let me have it. And you know what I done to him? I thought, God bless you. And I said, boy, you go out here with all this hate in your heart. I'm going to pray for you. And I prayed for him right there. Son, he was shaking like a leaf. Trembled. Boy, it's quiet in here. Man, I'm preaching long. I'm done, Lois. Don't get upset, Lois. I know you don't like long preaching, don't you? Look at me. Hold on a minute. Do y'all really know how saved you really are? do you really know that you're not, hell is behind you and heaven is before you? Stand, I'm done. I may keep this sermon for private use, but I think I need to preach it. Somebody say amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you in this room? You ain't really haven't pondered enough lately of what really God done for you. How many of you tonight, God helped you and you need to ponder some things? Raise your hand. Amen. If you need to pray, come and pray. If you got sin that you think God can't forgive, come up here and pray about God to forgive any sin. Father, thank you for the good word of God tonight. And we'll praise you for it. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Will you come?